Hi, I'm Dave Danielson, and this is an edition of The Long View. The Long View is a program where we try to look 25 to 30 years out in the future about issues today that may be impacting us out in that distance, out in that time period. Today, we're glad to have with us Bob Denz, who is the lead spokesperson for the New Hampshire AARP. Bob, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Tell us about a little bit about the AARP, American Association of Retired Persons, here in New Hampshire.
Right. First of all, it's just called AARP now.
Okay.
They straightened me out on that a few years ago. I've been a member quite a while. AARP started probably 53, 54 years ago, and it's grown into our population, our membership now across the country is close to 40 million. Here in New Hampshire, we have about 230,000 members here in New Hampshire, which is a pretty good percentage. Majority of seniors belong to AARP. Now, what's the purpose? It's for people 50 years and older, and if you take all our programs and they get that common thread that goes through all of them, it's help people as they age. We're talking about dignity and quality of life, security, independence, and health care. All our programs are aimed at that. If they're not aimed at that, we should not be in it. It's a nonpartisan membership organization, headquarters in Washington, D.C. Every state has an office. We have one on Elm Street here in Manchester. Staff, five or six people, and the rest are volunteers. We have a lot of programs going, very active, of course, and now in the campaign, but we're nonpartisan. Our job is to bring information to our members, help them to make, in the campaign, help them to make good decisions, and that decision is up to them, not to us.
Right. Well, today, our discussion today is going to be about the socio and economic impacts of the graying of America and what that will mean. And I guess the first question I have is, when we look at boomers and seniors, which would probably be people from their early 40s, maybe 43 or so, up and older than that, the question is the values that we had, that we developed in the 60s and 70s as we were growing up, are those values that will continue, do you feel, as we gray?
I think if the values touch on our principles, our basic way of life, they will continue. Now, as an example, I have a few years on me. When I was a kid, we had depression in the 1930s. And what did we do with older people who couldn't be taken care of? We warehoused them in every New England town had a poor farm or a poor house. Mm. We've come a long way from that. And I think we'll look at 20 years from now, we'll look at these years here, we should have done this a long time ago. So there'll be some changes. I think there'll be good changes. But the basic thing of taking care of our people is going to be there, and maybe even better than it is now.
Well, you have challenges, though. I know the challenges of the government. The government is looking at not paying some of the monies that they're paying now to nursing homes and for long-term care. There's also a cultural change that I know has been introduced, and that's bringing it back. I know when I was growing up, I always seemed to have an aunt, a great aunt, that was living with us. And I think the attitude today is to try to go back to that where a senior would live with their family.
That's
for an extended period of time. Do you see that?
Dave, that's a very good point. The tendency now is, or at least AARP would like to see this, we've taken surveys of our members and other people who are elderly who are not members, found out that well over 90% want to remain where they are now, in their home. May it be a rented home or a home and so forth, as long as they possibly can. We're all for that. Now, right now, we would like to see some of the Medicaid money, most of which goes to nursing homes, over 80% goes to nursing homes, and the remainder goes to community and home-based care. We would like to see that changed around a little bit. The government, not AARP, but the government said we can pay for three people living in their home as we pay for one person in a nursing home. Now, nursing homes are important. Some people have to be in a nursing home. But are there people there that could be at home if the services were there? And we'd like to see the services there.
Right. What would those services do you see include?
That would be a whole range of them. If you have someone who needs help in dressing and toilet, this and that and so forth, that's fine. It's coming in maybe 3 hours a day, every day. Some only need someone coming in with the food and so forth. If you need someone 24 hours a day, and that mounts up, you'll be paying the same as you pay in a nursing home. But we feel there's a lot of people who could get along in their own home, in their own surrounding, where they do better anyway, if someone's visiting them every day and taking care of things that they can't do themselves.
Right. Now, I know in my era, the thing that was popular, a thing that was popular, were communes back in the late 60s and early 70s. And I read an article about a group of seniors who have, I guess for all intents and purposes, would be condominiums, where they actually all support one another.
Oh, mm-hmm.
They have individual jobs, yep. Some of them go out.
That's right.
And they're all over, I think, if I've read right, so they're all over 70 years old.
Yeah.
And they basically take care of it. If somebody gets ill,
sure.
They take care of that person.
Yeah.
If that person comes down with a serious illness, they'll take that person over.
Yep.
But the house is theirs. Mm-hmm. They just live in this very supported community.
Yes. Right, and to take care of each other.
Yes.
And of course, they have to get outside expert help, like doctors, nurses,
sure.
and so forth. But they do it as a group. And usually those have to be located in or near a good-sized city. If you get out in the boondocks, where I live,
yeah.
it'd be a hard job because the nearest house is quite a ways away. But they do work to a certain extent. I think those ideas are good. Let's try them. There's a lot of new ideas we haven't even tried out there. But a commune type of thing, I hate to say that word commune because that's to go back to the communism, I think, doesn't it?
Well, no, actually it goes back to the hippie days.
Okay.
I mean, in my era, it would be the hippies who have formed those communes, you know.
But anything like that is good. I think try it. And it might not work, but at least come out of the box and try it.
Right. And I think, too, conversations I've had with other folks, living alone is difficult for some people.
Sure.
Especially as you're gray. And there has been, again, from values coming out of the 60s and 70s and 80s, people have found, some families have found that husbands are men and women who wanted to live together, mm-hmm. Not marry,
yeah.
but live together.
Sure.
Was becoming more popular. And for families, a lot of families have a reluctance to see a parent wed, re-wed, for whatever.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes.
Yes, so to see a parent perhaps then cohabitate with another person is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I guess from a financial standpoint, it's not a bad thing either.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you see that possibly happening?
Yeah, I think probably this is something years ago when I was a kid, they never hear that you couldn't do that.
Right.
But that's right. You're hearing about it now. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense in a couple of ways. First of all, the saving money on both sides and so forth. Another thing is having a partner and bounce things off the partner. I hope you take that right.
I understand.
And when you enjoy something in life, you like someone to be there enjoying it with you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the sense of seeing a beautiful lake or a mountain and so forth and not being able to talk about it to a partner? And little things like that. And someone to go with, someone to converse with, watch television and so forth. It makes life a little easier.
Excellent. Okay. I asked the question earlier when we were speaking about the idea of staying fit and healthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed that in your discussion about AARP's goals, healthy is
right.
one of the things, healthy living, that kind of lifestyle
right.
is one of the things. How do you encourage that in your membership?
And that's another good point. Today we have miracle pills. We have we make the blind see with cataract operations and new lenses. You can have new elbows, new knees, new hips, and so forth. So people are out working and enjoying life that they couldn't do a few years ago. And those things will increase. They're so important to keep a person active. And years ago, when my dad retired from the railroad, the idea was to get on a front porch in a rocker. He worked 44 years in the railroad. Now it's just the opposite, I think. Well, of course, we adore youth. We can't get a wrinkle and so forth. I kind of object to spending billions of dollars on making sure you stay young looking. And I think wrinkles are pretty good. It's part of your character.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. One of the writers that I was preparing for our discussion today, a quote from one of the writers is, "Boomers and seniors want to maintain their youth." So my first question to that is that an accurate statement, or does youth mean something different to a graying society?
Yeah, I think that's hard to answer because people are different. I don't mind a wrinkle or two, and I got a few and so forth, and I don't spend anything on creams that do away with these wrinkles and so forth. But America is in love with youth looking, and they almost, what would the right word be, lionize it. It's the thing to do, remain looking young. And I think there's a, somewhere along the line, you're going to get older looking, and it's a shock if you traveling, if you're having facelifts and so forth, and all of a sudden you look in the mirror and say, gee, I'm getting old. That must be a shock to them. So I'd say keep active and so forth, and age gracefully. Right. And I think you can do that. It's a mental thing as well as a physical thing. And of course, I'm not doing the business. I'm not any good who are selling these creams that do away with wrinkles.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, because one of the things you bring up, and you mentioned it at the end of that sentence, is does youth mean looking young, or does it have a different meaning altogether? And I think you started to address that with your attitude and the way you think about things.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up again, because it's in your mind. I think it's in your mind. Right. And I got a few years on me, and the best thing for me is to stay active and stay with people. As example, I never eat breakfast at home. I go out and eat breakfast and talk to people and so forth. And sometimes I go to the same restaurant a couple up in New London. And it's kind of fun. And it's a chance for me to read a paper, keep up with it, get mad at what I read in the paper, or be happy about it, talk to people and so forth. And that's the way I start off a day. And I just enjoy it so much. What's better than a bagel, a cup of coffee, and the USA Today?
Right. Now, and one of the other things I guess I would tie into that, I'll ask you the question, is stimulating your mind, I think, too, adds to that ability to stay young,
quote,
as you've described it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the school districts now are starting education programs for seniors, not just seniors, adults. Are those kind of programs, and then what would you suggest as kind of educational programs that or subjects that might attract somebody?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on, and it's very healthy, and I hope we see more of it. And I think that things that would challenge people, if you get a topic such as healthcare tomorrow, what's it going to be like, healthcare, how, in other words, get people talking about something that they live with every day. And it's healthcare. Our surveys tell us that's number one. Number two, also, will I have enough money and so forth to continue into retirement program? And will the bills be so, well, inflation come that my retirement savings will not keep up? All those should be discussed. And I think it's wonderful that some schools and so forth are doing exactly, bring people together and hit those topics that hit home for the seniors.
We spoke of earlier, again, in reading some of the things to prepare for today, I identified five health areas that are primary concerns to seniors today, and that would include heart disease, cancer, renal disease of the kidneys and system, dementia, and arthritis.
Yeah, all big items.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Did your surveys find those same things? And again, are there programs in AARP that perhaps discuss ways to, certainly with heart and cancer, we've been pretty aggressive about trying to address those?
Because of the large membership, we can't reach out personally to all of them, but that's why information is probably one of our strongest suits. If you want to find out about dementia, we have tremendous good information about that. I'd emphasize that, and I put a line under information that we put out is excellent, really. It's our strongest suit. And on heart, we put a lot of information out on heart. Are you getting the best attendance? What does your doctor say? Have you tried this, that, and so forth? We think information is power. And if you have a relative with someone with dementia, a tremendous amount of information comes out. What can relatives do? How can they help? What to expect? And so forth. They even get into the fact, These people will drive you wacky saying the same thing over and over. How to handle that, and how to handle it properly, mostly for the patient, for the person who has dementia. Those are things that the ordinary people don't know, or they'd have to do a lot of research. They just come to one source, the AARP, and we have excellent information on all those matters.
Right. Another thing I think that comes into play that people don't necessarily think about, I think, as we age, is changes in building, for example. Mm-hmm. Simple thing like stair risers, which I think are typically maybe 6 inches or 8 inches,
bringing
the stair riser to a 4 inches as opposed to make it a little bit easier to make the stairs.
That's right.
Does the organization advocate in any kind of ways for that to happen?
We do. In fact, we have booklets on it, Making Your Home Safe.
Ah.
And it hits several things you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Stairways, lighting is a big thing. Throw rugs are out, mm-hmm. and cords around the. If you went through someone's house and they have not done this very well, you'll find 10 things that you could do to make that house safer. And we have an excellent booklet or two out just on that. And if people would read them and pay attention to them, would save a lot of falls. Now falls. That's the leading cause of deaths among older people, falls. And the amount of falls, they say, this coming year, take right from now and go for the following year, one out of three of over 65 will have a fall.
Wow, and many of those turn into
because of
mortality.
Their age, they don't recover that fast. Some are fatal. And even if they're not fatal, you come back with, you can't do things that you could do it one time before the fall. And the falls are just simple things, something left on the floor, or trip on this, or a rug, and so forth. That is probably one, I'd like to emphasize that. There's information out there. Go take the time to go around your house, take this book with you, and see if these safety things are there.
Right. Now, I have some friends who are in their late 70s, who are actively skiing.
Oh, sure.
Ski patrol.
Sure.
Out skating.
Man.
Tobogganing.
What are they eating?
Right. Again, so there's the lifestyle as you get older. Obviously, just because a chronological age sets in, apparently there's a lifestyle that helps you get to that point where you can continue to enjoy those. And there's a lot of folks skiing who are
in
their 70s, 80s.
You'd be surprised. That's right. I ran a tennis, when I was going to a school in Washington, D.C., I ran a tennis court. Some of the best players were in their 70s.
Sure.
They didn't knock themselves out, but they were good players. That's a good point. And I think, I'm going to go back and work that into falling in the house. You fall in the house, some of that is going to, that energy you had, it might still be there, but you get to be too careful. In other words, I fell once, I could do it again. And will you continue skiing? Well, you'll probably think twice about it.
Right. And that we had Dennis DeLay here a few weeks ago.
Oh, sure.
And he was talking about the demographics and how they are, the aging population, and how that would affect the population. And one of the questions I asked him was, from his description, I said that it would make sense that if a person was an entrepreneur, let's say at 45 years old, there's nothing really to prevent that person from being an entrepreneur at 75
years
old.
That's right.
You know, you talk about the energy level.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If they give a fair chance, and I'll explain that, to that 75-year-old, what the boomers will be hitting, and I think that's anyone born 1946 on up to 1960 or something like that, and they're beginning to hit it. They're going to hit a wall, in my opinion, just like the marathon in Boston. And that wall is called ageism. And I think we face that. People are, they don't do this intentionally, but if you're in your 70s, maybe late 60s, in your 70s, you're going to face ageism.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, it's not intentional. It might be a doctor saying, you have a pain in your leg. Well, look at your age, and wipe it off. That's probably an exception. I put that out, but my doctor would never do that. But there are things there. Okay, unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Two people lost their jobs, 165, 160, 130. Who do they hire first? Statistics, they hire the 30-year-old. The 50 or 60-year-old could be much better at that job, but they look at the age on the paper, and tendency is to bring back, employ the younger person. To me, that's ageism. At least compare them two by two. And the young person might shine better than the other, but give the other fellow a chance.
Right. And the other thing that falls in, again, from that conversation we had and from the points you just made, there's nothing to prevent a person who had one career from deciding that perhaps another career.
That's right.
And as we talked about earlier, education systems are there for you.
Yep, that's right.
There's nothing to prevent you from doing that either.
That's right. If I was looking for employment now, and I'm volunteer, but I'm not looking for employment, my first thing would be network. Go network with everyone. I'd volunteer maybe at a hospital where I can network with doctors, staff, nurses, and so forth, who might know of a job. I don't want to be a volunteer all the time. I want a job. But network with people. Volunteering gets you out to meet people and so forth. A good way to get your name out and what you're looking for. And I'd look at what fields that when I say fields, F-I-E-L-D-S, are going to be popular now, are popular, and will be in the future, and I'd aim for those.
Right. And again, if we loop it back to the social values that we mean, cultural values we had at an earlier age, 60 and 70 years old, and knowing that we had to go through a period of where we provided for our families, took care of ourselves, established ourselves in the community, now as you get older, those social values that you may have had, may have developed earlier, can now start to come back to play where you can give back to your community and perhaps find some employment in that as well.
That's exactly right. It makes you feel a lot better, too. Makes you feel a lot better.
One of the other areas that we've not looked at is the involvement or the role of spirituality as folks age. How does that play a role? Does it play a role?
What does that mean to spirituality? What does that mean to you, Dave? So I'll be on the same wavelength.
The idea of religion or the role of a God, God in their lives, a spiritual life other than their physical life, financial life, etc.
Yeah, it's in fact, if you look at churches, churches now, you see a lot of gray hairs there because they had this when they were children. They're religious and they carried it right through life. If the numbers are correct that I read in the paper the other day, church membership has dropped some, so forth. Now, that doesn't mean a person is not spiritual. In other words, if you don't go to church, you could be one of the finest persons going. And that's my belief anyway. But I think it's good to get together with other people and so forth on your Sundays or whenever you go. I think it's good to carry through life. I think it makes you a more rounded person. But I will emphasize that in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with someone who doesn't go to church. My dad didn't go to church, but you couldn't find a more straight shooting guy than him. And honest, he wouldn't take a dime from anyone.
Right, right. I think, and the question was how does that involve? Does the person see a spiritual side developing as they get older, or is it something, as you said, acquired when you're younger and just go from there?
I think in many cases the older you get, the more you might go back to your church if you left it. And it reminds me when I was in the Navy in the Pacific, the closer we got to a battle zone, I saw the attendance at the chapel go up.
Sure.
On board ship. Interesting. Floating off outside of San Francisco, you'd get maybe 30 people or 20 on Sunday morning, but it was crowded the closer we got to islands of Philippines and the Marianas and so forth.
Sure. Again, coming back, if we can, coming back to the quality of life issue and how we contribute to that quality of life, and going back to the fact that we came from the 60s and 70s and earlier.
Thank you.
And earlier. What do you see are the main things that sustained us in our early in those early years, those 20s and 30s, because we do go through a period, this is my observation, I think we go through a period of selfishness as we try to establish our families.
Sure, probably do, yeah.
Right, and so, but those values that came out of the culture of the 60s and 70s, do you see major issues or major points that will sustain the graying populations as we go further?
Yeah, I think that as we come out of there, I think the most important thing is example. What example did that generation ahead of you set?
Okay.
How did they treat the vulnerable? How did they treat the sick, the hurt, the mental cases, the lame, the homeless, and the starving. How do we? And those examples are passed down even not only to young people, but real young people, high school age and so forth. And I think when they see those, and they see their mom and dad and their grandparents, how they treat other people, I think that carries with them. Much more important than what they get in the classroom. I think in the classroom in high school, you might forget a lot that you had in there, but you will not you'll not forget how your mom and dad treated neighbors, how they treated the hurt and the lame and people that needed help. Mm-hmm. How did they treat them? And I think those are the basic values that they'll carry on into their generation when they are up there paying taxes and what we were doing.
And we have a couple of moments left. Can you tell us if people want to get involved in AARP?
Sure.
Or if they wanted to get and learn more about subjects that would be of interest to seniors, for example, with Senior Olympics in New Hampshire is very popular.
Yeah, it is indeed.
It has become more popular.
Yeah, it is indeed.
And I think that is also over 50, athletes over 50 years old.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So it's those folks, and some folks probably don't want to acknowledge that they're graying or they're aging, but since there's that threshold of 50 for these athletes, how can folks get involved? Who do they contact? Where do they go?
Involved in all kind of what to do as I age and so forth.
Right.
And how can I help?
And AARP is one of the organizations.
Yeah. A great thing to do is volunteer for AARP. We have so many volunteers doing such wonderful work, giving up their own time and so forth. We're in the book, by the way. You can call us, or the easy way, get on www.aarp.org, and then if you're interested in something beyond that. Advocacy or whatever, throw that in and they'll pull that up for you. It's something that you get a lot. We have nutrition, but I think part of that nutrition ought to be something that you don't take in through your mouth is helping others. And I think if you volunteer for AARP or any other organization, you're going to get a lot more than you put out. And it just gives you a good feeling. And life has been darn good to me. I wouldn't change anything in my lifetime, and it's about time I gave something back.
Excellent. And I know that you're very active. Talk about volunteering. I know you're also very active in Concord's cable television programs.
Right, yeah.
What kind of a program do you have up there?
I picked the topic. The topic now next Tuesday, in fact, I'm glad I can plug this in, is going to be a person who I think is probably, bar none, the best person in Medicare and Medicaid in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be on, and we're going to hit all those questions. This is an important item coming up because the open season comes earlier this year. And when I say the open season, if you want to change your Medicare, you want to change prescription drug program under Medicare, this is the time to do it. October 15th to December 7th, and that's going to be our main topic. And then she's going to get information out. If you are a certain income, how to apply for possible help or help in paying your premiums.
Excellent. And I think 65 years old is the Medicare subscription age?
Yep, 65.
Excellent. I want to thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate our conversation. It flew by again.
It did go fast. Yes.
Thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you for being with The Long View. And we appreciate your being here. And we hope that this is helped you think about, as we age, as we all do, what we might consider our future to be like from a quality perspective. Thank you very much for being with us.